Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good morning, everybody. It's Ken Shepard and Dana Lee. The show's called Making Money in Real Estate When You Have No Money. We think we're going to have a really great show today. Dan and I have come up with some topics for mostly that we think are going to be very compelling to listen to and learn more about. We have a listener that's asked us to talk about notes, so we'll talk about that for a few minutes. He wrote me an email, and so I'm going to cover that for him. And we'll talk a little bit about some different things and help everybody hopefully figure out how to be more productive with their life and their real estate business and their general business. So let's start with our little disclaimer. This show is intended for the listeners only. All investment information contained in the show has been secured from sources Creative Flips Inc. and Ken Shepard believes are reliable, but we make no representations or warranties expressed or implied as to the accuracy of the information. The views, opinions, conclusions, and other information expressed in the show are not the responsibility of Creative Flips Inc. Or Ken Shepard in any manner. Creative Flips Inc. or Ken Shepard accepts no liability for the content of the show or for the consequences of any actions taken on the basis of the information provided in the show. Creative Flips Inc. and Ken Shepard recommends that you consult with a financial advisor, attorney, accountant, and any other professional that you believe can help you better understand and assess the risks associated with any investment opportunity. Okay? So let's kind of go over a few other things. Our call-in number today is 347-989-1329. Our website is www.creativeflips.webs.com. Our telephone number is 310-358-7087. Our 24-hour voicemail, that's our 24-hour voicemail, I should say. My cell phone, 9 to 5, California time, is 818-585-9706. Please don't call that number, that second cell phone number, that is, other than during that time period. Our Twitter is @KenShepard. Our Facebook is Facebook.com/KenShepard and Facebook.com/CreativeFlipsInc. You can connect with over 150,000 investors at no cost unless you decide you want to go to a premium account. But there is a no cost, a very wonderful, robust way to connect with over 150,000 investors. And it is a very powerful tool. We use it all the time. And the website to join that is kenreradio.com. That's kenreradio.com. Wonderful place. We love it. We have a number of people that are joining all the time. Our community is growing, and the community of the website is absolutely powerful. Always use your strengths to fund your weaknesses. What we mean by that is find out what you're strong at and use that as leverage to get things that you need in a good way, such as if you have a deal that you think we can fund and we get it funded for you, even if you don't have the money, bring it to us. We'll fund it. You can get paid and use the money for your family and your legacy. All of our shows are in the archives. Nothing is held back. Everything is free. It's designed to be that way purposely so you can have information to share with everybody you know in the world. Some people charge $30,000 for what we give away for free, but we feel it's better to give it to you and let you work with it and call us and bring us the deals, and we can do deals together. We've got about $500 million in process. It keeps going up and down. It depends on whether we get involved with the deal any longer, the deal closes, we're away from it, the parties change their minds, you know, whatever. But we generally have about $500 million in process, and it's actually growing very quickly. And we recently closed a $4 million deal. We have a lot of things in process. Just got a term sheet the other day on another deal for $1.5 million, and there's another term sheet that's coming in for about $182 million, I think, in the next couple of days. So those are the key points. As I said, the show's called Making Money in Real Estate When You Have No Money. Pardon me for sneezing. Anyway, so that's kind of our little overview. So why don't we go ahead and get to the meat and potatoes of the show. And Dana, do you want to kind of tell us how you'd like to, what you think we should cover? Because I know you have the kind of the format for today.
Sure. Well, I was talking to you about a report I read by Nick Marias. I'm sorry I messed up his name, but he's reporting that half of all the homes are being purchased with cash,
mm-hmm.
and that is a big difference. Before the crash, just 20% of all homes sold were selling for all cash. Now, over the past 7 years, this has more than doubled. So we're something like 60%. This explains why the home sales have jumped over the last 2 years. You know, you and I have talked about, you know, that's a combination of investors and foreign buyers. And he brings out the fact that wealthy home buyers that don't need to borrow to buy a home just pay for all cash. So,
right.
But we don't have first-time home buyers in the market. I know you and I have commented on that before.
Mm-hmm.
But he goes on to say only 44 cents of every dollar of homes sold is currently financed. Now, before the crisis, that was 67 cents that was financed.
Mm-hmm.
So that banks are motivated to get their money out there, even while they're valuing it,
mm-hmm.
Being more careful.
Okay.
Another little fact is that 2005, the purchase mortgage origination was at like $1.5 trillion.
Mm-hmm.
And in the past 2 years, it's just been $500 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So some of that drop-off is obviously because homes are selling for less than they were selling back then, just about 40. But the rest of it is because people can't get financing for the houses, or they can't get the value on the houses, or they don't have all cash.
Interesting. Real interesting. Well,
to take information and kind of share with us what that kind of means to the market.
Okay. And how long do I have to talk on this subject so I make sure that I give us room for everything we need to cover? We need to cover the notes thing that the
sure.
That
about
the
3 to 5 minutes.
Okay, good. All right, so I'll watch the clock. So we talked last week about how values are being inflated by appraisal. Like the example I gave about the property that was $150,000 more than any comp in the neighborhood, which is in this particular case about 30% of the value of the property that's last comp. It was just increased, and it's just about to close. That's going to, as I said, I told the agent who's representing the buyer, they should ask, he should send an email to everybody or a postcard to everybody within a mile of that property asking him to throw him a block party and buy him a car.
you said that, right?
Yeah, and they're getting ready to close. They signed their loan docs yesterday. So anyway, a lot of properties being purchased by hedge funds, of course, they're all cash. They don't do a leverage at all. They use all cash. They can take a very low capitalization rate, which means that they don't have to have they can go much higher on pricing because they're just going to keep them for rentals and just watch the market. That's how they're making money today, because hedge funds can't find deals to buy. That's number one. Number two is that I think that there's a tremendous amount of inventory coming into the system that people – you just don't want because it's fixers and things like that. Number three, so it has to go cash. Number three is the lenders are being very, very particular who they want to make a loan to, especially on the residential side. They're very strict. You have to have clean, perfect, impeccable credit history, all that kind of good stuff, jobs, job stability, all of those things that make them feel comfortable in giving you a loan. You have the substantial amount down, the deal I talked about that's over – appraised over a third value, they put down $100,000 yesterday, okay? That's how committed they are to the deal. Now, we'll see what happens. I don't know. I can't predict the future. But, right now, I think that property was valued about $150,000 more than it's worth. So, or maybe even more. I think also that we're dealing with a shifting economy in Egypt. A lot of these things are affecting us on a basis right here at home. Everything is tied into pricing, interest rates. Interest rates are staying stable because jobs are still being pushed offshore, although some are coming back. But you put all these different factors together, and they all end up causing pricing. And where we have, now is a price war with investors who are coming in with all cash because people just can't qualify or don't choose to qualify or don't want to buy real estate because they're afraid. Susie Orman went on television the last year or two and told people don't buy rent. Now, when she says that, what do you think her listeners do?
Follow her advice.
if they think about buying, they're not going to buy. They're going to rent or they're going to lease option at best. So consequently, I think the marketplace is shifting that way, and I think we're going to constantly see a changing of the tides as this whole marketplace does change, and especially as the hedge funds who have trillions of dollars available to them through all these big pension funds and stuff are happy to get 3% and 4% yield on their money, and investors need 5%, 10%, 15% yield on their money. And so you're going to have a shifting environment in terms of the competition that's going to push prices up. But prices are, I was talking to a guy about this at a finance dinner last night. I went to one of these investment dinners where they give you a real nice dinner and they tell you why you should be one of their clients, and they, you know, show you different investment strategies. So one of the things they said was that the purchasing power of the dollar, which is exactly what we've said, and I'm talking quickly so I can cover a lot of subjects, and if I'm talking too fast, then just let me know. But because of what's happening in the marketplace, you think that because interest rates are low that there's no inflation. That's not true. Go buy a head of lettuce at the store. That head of lettuce cost you maybe 40, 50 cents a year ago. Today it cost you much more. So your dollar's eroded because there's more dollars in the system. The government is printing money more than they've ever had. They're buying bonds all the time, which is why the stock market's exuberant, and it's going up. But the purchasing power of that dollar is not as much as that dollar used to be. So your property may go up 10%, but your purchasing power may go down 15%. That's before taxes and such like that. So, you know, you really have less purchasing power. So you really have to stay ahead of inflation. In order to have to stay ahead of inflation, you have to watch not just prices of, you know, interest rates, but prices of gas, you know, prices of food, stuff like that, in order to try and be competitive with the market and make sure your dollar always buys more than it bought last month.
Right. And that's really difficult to do, especially in an all-cash market. And if you're,
exactly,
you know, half of all the homes are being purchased with their cash, we're in an all-cash market.
That's just the fact
of the matter. So what's happening is, like you said, people are turning to renting. And
right.
And as a result of some of the people being pushed out of their homes, they often, you know, have difficulties even finding a landlord that will rent to them.
Right.
So
and we,
one of, that brings me to our recent decision not to participate in any notes or non-performing notes or REOs that involve occupied properties.
Yeah, there's a real good reason for that. You know, I try and have a good heart about what I do and feel proud of what I do at night. And there's lots of ways to make money. And certainly a lot of people make money in ways that I would never do, you know, including certain kind of motion pictures and, you know, things that are, you know, just lots of different things. Like, you know, obviously, you know, what I'll call the blue pictures, if I can, to say it nicely, you know, stuff like that. We're never going to do any of that. And we feel that to buy non-performing loans and real estate owned, which is REO, that or any property for that matter, where there's somebody in that property that will not go without being evicted, I prefer not to buy it. I mean, there's too much opportunity, too much choice to get involved with that. I'm not interested in suing people. I'm not interested in going to court. I'm not interested in non-performing loans that are where you have to evict a family. You know, you don't know the story behind every one of them. You can't if you're buying a portfolio of them. And the same thing holds true with REO. You know, we've decided to just look at those that are not occupied, and or the person who did live there has chosen of their own volition to leave, or however it's been set up, they've either left of their own accord or not, but they're not in the property any longer, and we're not dealing with having to remove them from the property. That's a painful process. You have to have skin much thicker than I do. And, you know, you have to, you know, I mean, obviously there's, like I said, lots of ways to make money and people do it. And there's some people that can do it with no conscience. I just can't do it. You know, I saw a famous baseball player on TV the other day that was broadcasting. And I know for a fact that he has a company that buys at the auction, and whether the people are in it or not, if they're in it, then, you know, they just get an eviction notice, or they try and make a deal with them. And if they can't make a deal with them, no matter what, they evict them, and where they got to go. You know, you got people homeless and on the streets. I mean, we should be about making things better, not making things worse. And I think that's making things worse.
And at the same time, I have no judgment for people that take that route and that feel comfortable doing that role.
No. I don't either.
It's not fun. And
I don't
the reason
either.
That I came into real estate 25 years ago is because I wanted to do something that I enjoyed.
Right.
If you love what you do, you work your long hours, and it really is much easier
you're
on you than if you work short hours at something you hate.
Exactly. So
right?
Exactly. And I just decided that, I just kind of had a long talk with my heart, and I have bought properties from banks with people in them, but I've never evicted anybody. I've always paid people to move. And they've moved if they're, because they know otherwise the bank's going to throw them out. They don't want to have that happen. So we tell them we won't buy the property unless we can work something out with them because we're in a contingency period or whatever. But at the end of the day, it's just a very, very horribly distressing and disturbing way, in my opinion, to make money. Doesn't mean other people can't do it. Doesn't mean other people won't do it. Obviously, they do, and they do it every day. But they just look at the ROI. But I don't think you just look at the ROI. I just don't think you can just look at the ROI. Meaning return on investment. You have to look at return on your heart and return on your ethics. And some people don't mind. And that's okay. If you're one of those out there that wants to buy those kind of notes and hire lawyers and deal with all that kind of stuff, that's your choice. It's just not right.
So that brings us to something you touched on last week that I asked you to go further into. You saw boarded up properties. You see them as you drive around. We all do. And you have a specific property, a boarded up property strategy that I'd like you to share with everybody today. If you would, I'm going to go ahead and take notes. I'm going to go to outline it because I want.
Oh, okay.
I want to
You're talking about the boarded up house. Okay. So my wife and I were driving the other day, and I always drive with an open, looking around for anything that I see around me that's a problem property. A problem property to me is it's boarded up, it's got a fence around it, it's burned up, it's it's got grass as high as the roof, and there's nobody living in it. Okay, it means it has no income, it means it's being unmanaged, it means there's something going on, and it means that you're dealing with a vacant property. Okay, what I also look for in this particular case, and what we always look for, is no sign. And what I mean by no sign is not that it's listed, because I'm happy to work with listed agents, listed properties. My wife's been an agent for over 20 plus years. But here's the thing. When you have a property that's not listed, there's nobody living in it. It's boarded up or it's burned out. And you have how much competition do you have for that property?
Not a lot.
Very little. Now, the flip side of that is because you have so little competition, you have a lot more work to do. When you buy a listed property, okay, it's listed, you talk to the broker, you go look at it, you decide to buy it, you don't buy it, it's in a multiple, everybody knows about it, it's all over the place, or it's posted on the internet, whatever. Here's a property that's just sitting out there, no signs, no nothing. So what we did is we pulled the property profile from the title company. What that told us was, it told us all the comps in the area, how many square feet it is, when it was built, what loans are against it, and all that kind of stuff. And in California, if you have a good relationship with your title company, you can get all that stuff at no charge. Now, in some states, I know you have to pay for it, you have to research it, but in California, you don't. Okay, but you have to have a great relationship with your title company or they won't give it to you, because the only reason they give it to you is because they want the title business from you. Okay?
Sure.
So as a result of that, what we did is we pulled the property profile, which I sent you a copy of, and basically what that reflected was that there were two loans on the property. Okay, so, but there was no notices of default, but there were two loans. I think that somebody's making payments on these loans. So I called the title company back. I said, there's no notices of default or no notices of trustee sale or anything like that. Is this property a problem property? And they said, well, it's been in default, but now it's not in default. And then it was in default, and now it's not in default. So it went into default twice and what's called reconvened back to the borrower twice.
And now they cured the default.
They cured the default. That's exactly correct. So as a result of that, we know that somewhere along the line, the people that own that property either plan to have redone and had something happen. Something has gone wrong. So what we thought we would do is two things. Number one, contact the holder of the second and see if they want to sell the loan, because that property is worth probably about $325,000, the first and the second add up to $250,000. you got to know that, or 225, yeah, 225, plus $10,000 from the city for the fences around it and all the lien notices and stuff. So it's 235, whatever. But it's got to need like $25,000, $30,000 worth of work, right? So that takes it up to 265, 270. It takes it outside of range to buy it if it's only worth 330, because if you have to discount it a little bit, you actually may lose money. So what I said is, let's buy the second at a discount. Now, it's vacant. We could buy the second. We could foreclose the second and not hurt the person in the house because they're not living there. Okay? But I'd really rather not do that. I'd rather buy the second on an option. Okay? Option the second with a contingency. The contingency is that I want to be able to make a deal with the owner of the house and say, look, I'm going to buy this note. What can I do with you? You know, and work out a deal with the owner. Now, if the owner is not willing to do that, we may just buy the note, and then we could resell the note. It's a vacant property. Nobody's living there. You know, that goes on every day. I bought foreclosures before. I bought property before the sale before. I've never bought at the sale because you don't get title insurance. But the bottom line is we would buy that property and or that note and then work through the property. Now, that's our goal. Now, what does this take in order to do? Well, certainly it takes a lot of research, because you got to find that note holder. You got to make an offer to that note holder. They have to be willing to listen to you. They have to trust you have the money, which we could certainly show them. And you have to build a rapport. You know, and that gets back to everything we keep talking about, working with different kinds of people, being open, being polite, being friendly with everybody you talk to. Is, hi, I came across this house. I noticed you holding a second on it. We're investors in the local market. We'd like to buy your loan. Would you like to sell it? Yes or no? No? Okay. Well, do you have any thoughts about what you want to do with the property? Well, that's none of your business. Okay, fine. Well, anyway, just wanted to let you know. Obviously, we know it's been in and out of default. We've checked with the title company. I've been doing this a long time. And even if you've been doing it a very short period of time, you can still do a lot of the same things I'm doing, and we can show you how to do all that stuff. But the bottom line is that hopefully we'll get that house at about maybe somewhere close to about 200,000, maybe 180, 190. It's worth about 330, something like that, 3.25. And either we'll fix it up and turn it over, which I will probably not do. I'll just resell it before I buy it and let somebody else deal with the headaches of the repairs and reselling it because the market's in shift. And so if that's the case and it's worth 330 and we sell it off to somebody for, say, 250, okay, they put 20 into it, they keep it for a rental, or we sell it for maybe 230 and maybe carry some paper or something like that, carry a loan back or trade it off for some other equities or whatever, and we bought it for 190, that's $30,000 or $40,000. And you can pre-sell it before you buy it, subject to your acquisition and title, for all cash or whatever you want to do, and then you just buy it and you resell it and you're done.
So you would actually not buy the note until after you've spoken to the owner. So you buy it on an option with a contingency that you work something out with the owner.
Right, and even if I don't, I'd buy the note. But I'd want a contingency period to decide if I can work it out with the owner. Now, they may tell us you have to buy the note. Unfortunately, we don't care about the owner. You know, they've already defaulted us twice. We just want our money back. Well,
then we
may buy the note and call the owner and say, look, we bought your note. Make your payments to us now. And if they don't make the payments, then we can either flip the note to sell it to an investor who will finish that process and will make probably $15,000-$20,000 just flipping the note, or we'll make a partnership with the owner. I don't know. You know, you have to get into it as you get into it. But I'm taking you through the process, which is why I sent you the property profile, so we can work on it together with one of the people that you trust to help us, because you have to delegate. I always tell people, delegate to those you trust, because you can only do so much. You're only one person. You can only handle so much information, and you can only move so fast. So you need help. You need a team. You need a lot of people around you to do a lot of volume.
So let's say that we were able to work something out with the owner, that the owner's like, you know, I know, I'm tired of paying this. I really thought I was going to be able to blah, blah, blah. But, yes, if you will, you know, give me cash for keys or whatever. We work something out with the owner. And so then we have the second note, and we have the owner saying, okay, cool.
Right.
Now what do we do about the first?
Well, you have to certainly make sure the first day's current. And if you're going to sell the property, you're going to pay off the first anyway. So I really am not that concerned about the first. And the first has a position of 115 over 330. So they're not going to be too likely to sell that note. Now, you could approach the first, but you're more than likely to get a deal approaching the second than you are approaching the first.
So you go, do you tell the first, okay, so now I own the second? Or do you just go to them as, I'd like to purchase this note, and what kind of discount? Are you willing to sell it the same way that you approach the noteholder?
You could do that. You could do that. I wouldn't hold the property and hold it was subject to title, because if you do that and you know, and they decide to, and I'm not saying they would, but they could, if they decide to, they could say that you took titles, you know, without permission, and they could foreclose on you. So, but if I'm going to sell it one day after I buy it, the guy's going to get paid off. It's
right.
Not going to matter anyway.
Then it doesn't matter. Okay.
If I sell it before I buy it, then I just go buy it and turn around and flip it to the person that I'm selling it to. It's over and it's done with. So it really doesn't matter. We have about 3.5 minutes of, and there was a call. There was a gentleman that wrote me about wanting to talk about notes. Let me just cover a little bit on that, if that's okay.
Sure.
Notes, it's a great business. I mean, you can buy them, hold them, you can buy them, trade them, you can buy them, resell them. You can do all kinds of things with notes, like, because they're like any other asset. But you have to be careful when you're buying notes, because you want to make sure there's enough equity in the property. You want to know if it's been paid current. You can get that by what's called a beneficiary statement from the lender of record, and find out exactly who holds that loan. If you're buying that note, you want a beneficiary statement in escrow, or with a, if you're at a state where attorneys do it, you know, have the attorney do it. But at the end of the day, you want to make sure you know what's owed against that property. You want to get a title policy on your note when you buy it, and make sure you get the right endorsements in the title company. And an attorney can help you through all that kind of stuff. They're used to it. They deal with it every day. And I just think the note business is an excellent business, but you have to be a specialist in understanding what you're dealing with. We were talking to a guy yesterday that bought some non-performing loans. He didn't even know what he bought. He doesn't know if it's vacant, if it's occupied. He just thought he made a good deal. That's all he knew. He had no idea if he made a good deal or not. $400,000 later, he's now trying to figure out what to do.
And he will likely make a profit on them, but it will not be a quick flip like a, you know.
It doesn't look like it's going to be a quick flip. No, he got sold on the concept that it would be, but it more than likely won't be, and we're going to try and help them through that process. But they don't even know whether the properties they have are vacant or occupied, and they're all over the country.
We've had a couple of brokers try to tell us that, you know, that's something that's unknowable, and I don't think that's industry standard. I think that feels to me like newbies that don't know that they should have that information to give to the people that are buying their property, their tape.
Some people don't care because they're buying it at such a deep discount. They'll take their risk and chances. If it's occupied, they deal with the problem, which is, like I said, we won't do. If it's not occupied, then so much the better. But in our case, we want to be able to know. So I said to them, separate the occupied from the non-occupied. We'll give you somebody to talk to about the non-occupied. We don't want anything. We're just going to hook you up with a service that does that. And we'll take a look at buying the occupied. And we'll turn a lot. We'll take a look at buying the non-occupied. And we'll also take a look at buying the real estate owned, as well as the notes that are not occupied, even if they're non-performing. So we have about a minute left. You want to tell people a little bit about how they can reach you?
Sure. You can reach me at Danalee209@gmail.com or dealswithkd@gmail.com. And you can give us a phone call at 269-849-9510. Ken, why don't you talk a minute about people who can, like, be negative about you, put negative energy on you, put negative stuff on the internet about you, and how to, you know, what you do to thicken your skin to deal with that.
Well, you just have to do exactly that. You have to thicken your skin. First of all, just be ethical and honest with people, and even if they write stuff, you know, unfortunately, not everybody's happy with everybody. We're going to run out of time on air, but it is, but we are recording, so we'll finish our recording. We're about 10 seconds from losing airtime. But the answer to your question is basically, you run into people that just for a bunch of different reasons, some of them having to do with you and some of them having nothing to do with you, are afraid, are threatened by you, or who knows what, you know, had a bad day, in the middle of divorce. I mean, this could be a billion reasons why people are just, you know, not polite. And you have to remain polite no matter what.
You came to me a while back. I'm sorry.
Yeah, you have to be constantly honest. You have to be constantly carry your principles and be respectful and courteous and all that kind of good stuff. You know, and there's plenty of books on it. There's books on dealing with difficult people. There's books on challenging people. There's lots and lots and lots of stuff on the internet on that. So you can read about it all day, every day, if you want. But, you know, in total capsule of it, just treat people like you'd want to be treated. That's all.
Right. Well, in finishing, you came to me a while back and you said, hey, somebody heard your name and said, you know, I don't want to do business with that person, and I don't know who that could have been or why.
Yeah.
But I set a Google alert for my name, and there's I'm not the only Dana Lee out there. So, you know, it may be that they weren't even talking about me.
That's right. So, well, you know, there's one thing you could, there's something you could do. Certainly, you could, a lot of those sites will offer your rebuttal. Okay. And the second thing you could do is just write articles. Because if you write articles all over the internet, those will always move to the top. And the more articles you write, which is more relevant, the more, even if you write on LinkedIn, like on a posting of, I'm interested in what you had to say, and you put your name, Google will find that. And if you keep doing that and doing that and doing that and doing that, your name will rise to the top of Google very quickly.
Sure.
If you know, so people will be able to separate you. Now, nobody's perfect. You know, you've got people like, you know, there's everybody out there that's, you know, that's known has people that like them and people that don't. It's just the nature of the way things are. If you want everybody to like you, then you shouldn't be in business, because business doesn't operate that. Go into the Peace Corps. You know, but
go into philanthropy. get rich and become
a philanthropist, and then everybody will love you. Go on Secret Millionaire.
Right.
But anyway, the point is that you know, it's all about giving back. It's all about being good. You know, just be nice, be fair, be honest with people, and when they don't do what you want the way you want it, just, you know, don't be surly back to them. Just say thank you very much for your comments, and they're appreciated. I appreciate your gracious notes. And you'll flip them out because they're all upset, and then you're writing back to them like you're their best friend.
Right. Right.
So anyway, like, we're like way over time, but we are recording. So.
I know we are. No, that's it. Let's have a good day.
Okay, I'll call you right back offline.
All right, bye-bye.
Thanks, everybody. Bye.